RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
What time is it?
It's Brownie time!
Excuse me. Couldn't get to the cough button there in time.
Oof. Didn't notice.
Did you just put on your Cubs World Series ring?
It feels good. And I know how much you hate the fact that I got a ring.
Yeah, the Hall of Famer, one of the greatest middle linebackers in Bears history, indeed, down here with Mike Singletary.
Did you see Die Hard?
Yes.
Yeah, I did too. That was awesome.
Thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Samurai.
Down to Mark Grody.
Hey, Cordero, could I get a couple minutes with you here,
man? I ain't even talking today, man. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So it's been kind of a devastating day for me with Bubba and then the bird. So
Bubby.
And when the Patriots took a 3-0 lead.
Les, the Bears were America's team. What are you talking about?
No, they weren't. They weren't. Everybody.
Yeah, sure they were.
Everybody. You weren't down there. I was.
Mark Grody, go ahead. Unmute, Mark.
Here I am. Unmuted.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Mark Grody on 670 The Score.
Hi. Hope you guys are all doing great on a Monday. Bears Monday. A Bears bad loss Monday. A Bears 38-20 loss to the Green Bay Packers Monday. And that's what we're going to be talking about for the next hour ahead of Cubs baseball. Cubs at the Rockies, 7:05 pregame with Zach Zaidman, Pat Hughes, and Ron Coomer, the Coom Dog, will have the call at 7:40 tonight right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We're open. We are open for you, Bears fans, if there is anything on your mind about the Bears, about the loss, about the ramifications of it, the potential recovery, because that's where we are right now. We're open. 312-644-6767. Text line is open. It's right in front of me. 312-644-6767. I am Mark Grody. It is. This is recovery now, because that was devastating yesterday. It's recovery for the fan base. It's recovery for the players, no matter what they're saying or not saying out at Halas Hall or in the game and after the game yesterday. And I was at the game and I was at Halas Hall today. And there's only so much that they're going to let loose on or give details of how badly they feel. It's more going to be like recovery. How do we get up off the mat from this and recover from an atrocious game that in some areas you could look at it and say, yeah, I expected that. And in some areas, maybe not. Maybe you didn't expect it, which means that it might be recoverable in those areas. 312-644-6767. Did you think that when you got up today, or as you were driving home from the Bears game yesterday and listening to the score, that you would hear things like, after yesterday, after the buildup, that you would hear things like, the Bears lost to the Packers for the 9th time in a row? That Jordan Love threw for 3 scores. Ooh. Ugh. It actually happened. Justin Fields sacked 4 times, lost a fumble, threw a pick 6. Ugh. I mean, like, all of those things felt out of play for this game. Like, not a real possibility. Like, I talked about these things. I'm the one who called it a must win because of those things. That you can't, in this moment of opportunity for the Bears, of maybe becoming a new sheriff in the division, that you blew that opportunity, at least for that one day. And that is why I looked at it as a must win to satisfy that side of things. It would have been just one win in the books, and I get it, but I think symbolically it could have meant a lot more, and that's why I was looking at it as a must win, and they certainly can't lose the way they did. And it went down hard for the Bears in that game. But to hear all those things and see all those things, and in some cases have some of the worst case scenarios come to pass, it is very discouraging, despite the fact that it is just one game. 312-644-6767. We're lining up your calls here as we speak, but there's a few things that I want to say about the game in general as well. One of the parts that was foreseeable, and I didn't predict this, or I don't think I mentioned it, but the fact that Luke Getsy, the Bears offensive coordinator, had the game plan he did upon seeing it was not surprising to me. And the game plan he had was a conservative passing game where they would depend on weapons of Justin Fields, wide receivers, tight ends, running backs, whomever, to make plays, which subsequently would mean that you would be depending on blockers to make blocks and to free playmakers up. We saw it in a microcosm in the first Soldier Field preseason game in which Khalil Herbert and DJ Moore had those touchdown passes. That was way more than we realized it was. We thought that too, like, really just simple, easy, let's not give anything away, let's not get our quarterback hurt, let's force him to make a fast decision, little tune-up. But no, that we saw a glimpse of, we didn't know it, we didn't realize it, we saw a glimpse of what Luke Getsy was hoping the offense would be, at least the game plan for the Packers, was right there for all of us to see it, that was the game plan. And there's a lot of people saying, well, where's the downfield passing game? The reason that I'm guessing that Luke Getsy went with what he did was, and this is why it should have been foreseeable for me and maybe others, and maybe somebody else did catch it, the fact that Justin Fields in training camp, and I was there for every practice, did struggle with accuracy a decent amount of the times on downfield passes. It's just true. He just did. He struggled, and I tried to express that as best I could without saying that it was horrible. I think I usually went with average to below and below average at many times in training camp in that regard. Doesn't mean he didn't make plays. Didn't mean that he was hopeless. It meant that there was accuracy issues with his downfield passing game. So just a long way to say, yeah, I understood what Luke Getsy was doing, but it is also true that the players did not execute. Downfield blocking was bad. The offensive line itself was bad. Justin Fields was bad. None of it looked particularly good on this day. Nothing redeeming. I guess Roschon Johnson, but even that is kind of just worthless to discuss in the micro of this game and what we're talking about right now. Right before I get to some of your calls here, 312-644-6767. I see you guys. The defense was a little bit more surprising, and maybe I had a blind spot with the Bears defense because of the fact that they kept making plays against the Bears offense during training camp. And maybe I should have paid more attention to the Buffalo Bills first string offense and Josh Allen. And I get it. It's Josh Allen. It's the Buffalo Bills offense when they sliced and diced their way through the Bears defense like it was nothing. And I get it. There were guys missing. Eddie Jackson wasn't playing that day. DeMarcus Walker wasn't there. Yannick Ngakoue wasn't there either. But maybe those are the moments I should have paid more attention to, as opposed to, oh, look at Tyreek Stevenson, another interception. Who was the quarterback? Oh, it was Justin Fields. Kyler Gordon's my MVP. I think I heard that in one of the promos, me saying that. Kyler Gordon's my MVP. Well, maybe that's because they were going up against the Bears' offense. You know, this new, the Jervon Dexter, you know, wanting to give those guys the benefit of the doubt. And whenever they make a play, you stand and cheer and you mark it down and you don't forget it and you mention it every chance you get. But, yeah, those guys didn't look like they were ready either. You know, the Tremaine Edmonds obviously made some nice plays. TJ Edwards certainly did not stand out on this day. You know, I didn't think the cornerbacks or the secondary that we all thought was going to be a little bit more polished, they gave up huge plays. They gave up huge plays. And that was a problem. How disconcerting, deflating was the Packers converting a 3rd-and-13 on the first drive. Jordan freaking Love against this revamped Bears defense. And they're doing, he's got the same knack that the other guys had for the dramatic, where they do have a play for 3rd-and-13. Whereas I don't know that the Bears do. And they converted it, and they look good doing it as well. And they score a touchdown on a 4th-and-3. The dreadful throwback screen, in so many different ways, throwback. The throwback screen, the 51-yard play for Aaron Jones was devastating. Oh, that was just painful. Nobody on that side of the field. The throwback, literally the throwback, and I say double meaning throwback because it's like a throwback Packers thing. And they did that. So, yeah, there were just countless things where it was like last year or like Mel Tucker time where it's like, oof, like just devastating moments for the Bears defense and not getting anybody to make a big play. That's what they needed yesterday out of their defense. And unfortunately, it turned out that the Packers defense got the big play, Quay Walker and the pick six of Justin Fields. 312-644-6767. Let's get to it. Let's get to the calls here. And I'm just going to go in order, Leo, and you just tell me when I need to take a break too, buddy. Leo Stotterer is our executive producer here ahead of Cubs baseball. Let's go to Mike in Rockford. Hello, Mike. You are on the score.
Hey, good evening. I hope you can hear me okay. I broke my phone a few weeks ago. I just want to say something here. I am so sick and tired of, it's like the Who song, same ball, new boss, same as the old boss. It doesn't matter, GM, head coach, coordinators, players, draft picks, same old, same old. Tell me something I haven't seen or heard. I'm going to say this. Ryan Poles is going to eat dirt if this kid, that the two guys that the quarterbacks he passed up on, he could have number one draft pick, outplay Justin Fields this year. And I know next year they have two first-round picks, but let me ask you your opinion. I'll make this quick. What is going to be the protocol here? Justin Fields will come into a contract year. This is make or break for him, am I right?
Absolutely. They got to decide, and thanks, Mike. They would have to decide if they want to give him an extension. They don't have to. I mean, obviously, this is his third year. It's the fourth year in which you decide if you want to, you know, pick up the fifth-year option. But it is fair to call it a make-or-break year for Justin Fields for many reasons. That, you know, what I just said, time is literally running out on the rookie contract. You have Ryan Poles, who did not draft him, and that is a factor. That is a factor because they don't come into this with the background of scouting him and coming up with, you know, 10 bullet point reasons why you're going to end up drafting Justin Fields in the first round as the previous regime did. There's none of that. There's none of that paperwork with Ryan Poles. It is blank slate. There's no doubt about it. But a very objective analysis and evaluation of the player, as opposed to, this is, we know he's the guy. We're going to give him the benefit of the doubt because we scouted him, and we all of us had 10 bullet points and positive and why you like this guy and why you go with Justin Fields. None of that exists for Ryan Poles, and that is to be reckoned with for sure. Make no mistake about it. It is interesting that we are officially at the point. I think it happened today. Like, I'll just say it. It happened today, and that was because of the loss yesterday, Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus are officially being questioned. Yes, along the way, Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus have been criticized for things that they've done, whether Flus in-game or something Ryan Poles did. Maybe the Ogunjobi thing got you all hot and bothered about Ryan Poles. But now the doors have just opened for, are we questioning Ryan Poles and his talent evaluation? Does he know how to put a football team together? Was the first big money signing, Cole Kmet, was that what we should have done? I mean, now it is open. It is open on Ryan Poles, and it is open on the head coach of the Bears as well, Matt Eberflus. That now, if you want to call it the honeymoon, if you want to call it that, like, it ended after the game yesterday. And I get it. Justified. There's nothing surprising about it. But, yeah, now they are going to get that critical eye, and they should. This is the NFL, where if you're bad, you better get better quickly, and the Bears are taking their time on their ride. Let's go to Derek in Wisconsin. Hello, Derek. You're on the Score.
Hey, Grody. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to say I don't think that the Bears, I mean, you can't recover from this. Well, you really think you're going to redeem anything by beating Tampa Bay, who's kind of doing a rebuild? They just lost Tom Brady. Listen, what you did is you took Jordan Love, first time field general for a team, and you saw what happens when you're with a real coach, a real GM, and a real team, a good non-dysfunctional organization, and you saw what his first game looks like. Now compare that to what Justin Fields looks like year three. I say that Kevin Warren needs to come in and say Eberflus and Ryan Poles both need to go. Poles, look at the Claypool signing. It was terrible. What did we get for Roquan? Terrible. I'm telling you right now, pass on Jalen Carter. I've seen enough to where I don't see anything. Well, they did this right. What'd they do right? So far, nothing. It's an embarrassment. They both need to go.
All right, thanks. I appreciate it. I'm willing to go to the Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus officially deserve and are getting legitimate criticism and question marks for the first time, but I'm not going to the firing place yet. I am not taking us there. That time, give that a few years before we start to talk about firing Ryan Poles. I am not going to do that, nor with Matt Eberflus yet. There are questions, and maybe more hard questions than easy questions for both of those guys. But yeah, that's a slight level too far. I will say this. I was thinking about Roquan Smith, and Tremaine Edmonds had a pretty good game yesterday, and I do like Tremaine Edmonds, but they were missing that omnipresent linebacker that Roquan Smith always at his best was, where he was seemingly in the camera of every single defensive play, whether he was making the play or if he was an assist on the play. The Bears were missing that feel of a bunch of dogs going towards the football. And that's what Roquan Smith did. So that did go through my mind. Not that, you know, it's, and hey, Tremaine Edmonds v. Roquan Smith, that probably should be something that if you're a Bears fan, you follow in the name of evaluating your general manager, Ryan Poles, because that was the decision that was made, that they chose Tremaine Edmonds, if you want to look at it that way, over Roquan Smith and their fit and what they liked and what they didn't like. So it is fair to do that. But I wasn't necessarily doing that because I thought Tremaine Edmonds had a really good game, but I was thinking that there was a, you know, we've gotten used to Roquan Smith being around, and I know he was traded last year, so he wasn't around for a bunch of games, but a bunch of games that felt like inconsequential. This game of consequence today or yesterday, I missed the presence of Roquan Smith. All right, I'm being told we do have to take a break. We will get to your calls. We'll go through as many calls as we possibly can between now and 7 o'clock, talking about the Bears at 312-644-6767. Hang in with me for a few minutes, and I'll get to you right
here. RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
You are listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on The Score, presented by Busey Bank, and it's not a game, Illinois.com. Hope you're doing all right, despite the topic on the table, and that is very simply Packers 38, Bears 20. And I guess the sad part about it is, as disappointing as this is, we don't have to go that far back to come up with a season opener that was either as disappointing or probably, if you're putting in the right perspective, more disappointing. And that was the year 2019. After the colossal ending of 2018, a great regular season that ended in a double doink, despite that, there was so much positivity going into the 2019 season that the Bears, it was kind of a Bears got next. The Bears, hey, they got to the postseason and they almost won a game. Well, that's not, they're not going to get stopped this time because they're bringing back an elite defense, and it's going to be Mitch Trubisky heading into his third year in the NFL, and the second along with Matt Nagy, and then against the same opponent, the Green Bay Packers, with Aaron Rodgers, obviously, the Bears laid an absolute egg. The only difference was in the game, in terms of, was it a 10-3 final, was that the booing happened in the first quarter as opposed to, what was it, the second quarter yesterday? I think it was the second quarter when the boo birds started for the Bears offense. They were willing to give Justin Fields a deep breath, but once the second quarter came around and the offense was just wholly ineffective, it was time to boo again now. But I would say that 2019, again, it should be more disappointing for you, 2019, because 2019 was the year that you expected that you might go to the next level, at least win a damn playoff game, right? Win a playoff game, or maybe even it could, with that defense, you thought maybe with an elite defense that you could be a team that could maybe make it to the Super Bowl. Kind of like the 05-06 Bears getting in there because of defense, Devin Hester, and just enough offense. 312-644-6767. Leo, I have lost track here. What, am I Ray here? We have a full phone line. Oh, I got it right. It's Ray in Chicago. Hello, Ray. You're on The Score.
Hey, how's it going? I just wanted to mention the fact that Jalen Carter got a sack yesterday and six pressures.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair.
I'm real happy we passed on him. You know, this Dwight kid, he seems real great. It was a good decision. I'm so tired of these guys trying to be the next T.O.F. thing or that guy from the A's, you know, getting nobodies that we ever heard of, and trying to put a team together and trying to be this mad scientist of picking. It's like, why can't you just go for the best guy? I mean, this guy's still in our lab. It's like God opened the door after the trade for Moore. We got Moore. It's like, oh, wow, you know, we got him, so now we're number eight. And then it's like, oh, the number one guy goes down to number eight. You can just grab him. Just grab him. No, we'll pass. We're so smart. We're so smart. We'll just give him to the Eagles.
Yeah, well, he did, and thanks for the call, man. What I will say about that is they were pretty transparent, though, that this may not have been as ideal of a situation for Jalen Carter. I think Ryan Poles even mentioned that, you know, they're structurally set up or organizationally a little bit stronger foundation to be able to take on somebody like Jalen Carter, who, yes, a lot of people were very concerned about. I mean, look, he didn't he it seems like this stuff is like so long ago. But remember how bad he was on that pro day where people were like saying he's going to drop out of the first round? Like, he was alarmingly bad. So it's not like there weren't big red flags on Jalen Carter. So, but at the same time, absolutely, I will allow for, and you should, just like I was saying earlier, you know, comparing statistics of counterparts of the Bears and guys that you could have had, that is allowed in this year. And if Darnell Wright is not good and Jalen Carter is, eventually that's going to be a problem for the Bears and for Ryan Poles and their talent evaluation on teams. 312-644-6767. I'm Mark on the Score, and Mark is about to be on the Score as well. Mark in Chicago. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Not much.
You know, this was my second year season ticket holder. I went last year. It was a very exciting year last year. The team was not that good, but it was exciting. Every game was exciting. The kid broke three NFL records. I just want to tell you that about Fields. Yesterday, man, I went there. It was pumped up. Normally, you'll have a lot more Packer fans. It was Bear fans galore. So the excuse was they were out-coached. The coach was terrible. He did not prepare his team mentally, emotionally, every which way. They got a beat down. Their defense has no team speed. Their offensive line was terrible. They traded. We got this guy, right, DJ Moore. We didn't even use him. I watched their defense. They were just shambles. Eddie Jackson, he got beat constantly. The linebacker trying to pick up the kid out of the backfield was beat by 6 yards. And then the worst play of the game was when the quarterback dropped the ball. Okay, well, guess what? He finds a guy 50 yards open, 50 yards of field. The guy was by himself. Like, what happened?
Oh, yeah. No, it was an absolute nightmare all around in this game. And there were some damning things about this. Like, if you want to talk about the coaching staff, as you were, there was an admitted, you know, lack of attention to details in the game. I talked to, I think we have it actually, DeMarcus Walker, Leo, the DeMarcus Walker cut. I was in the locker room, part of a small group of reporters talking to DeMarcus Walker, and he got into some of the specifics. Eventually, you'll hear him talking about, you know, the lack of attention to the details. And here's what DeMarcus Walker said yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, first time playing football in over a month, you know what I'm saying? So, definitely a little rust off was definitely like the first half I was feeling myself. But, I mean, we're going to get better. Me and Yannick, we're going to start getting those guys going. Justin Jones, Bill, you know, get the rookies get in the rotation and start making plays.
What's the key for this entire group to try to regroup the most?
Details. Details. I think that's what beat us today, is the details. Field position, penalties, killed us.
Killed us. Details. And yeah, that's something that does fall back on the coaching. And the reason it falls back on the coaching is because every chance a coach gets the chance, and in this case, Matt Eberflus, they will tell you how interested they are in the details and that they are always telling their players to make sure they manage or pay attention to the details of what's going on. You know, words, you know, shooting yourself in the foot with penalties. Penalties, a lot of times, is in the overall fabric of the organization, and that begins with the head coach. So there was so much sloppiness out there that it's hard not to kind of look at Matt Eberflus and not say the whole thing is on him, but circle him and say, you know, you are a person of interest in what went on yesterday. And I realize we can make this case with almost every single player and part of the organization. You can do this with all the coaches, with Luke Getsy. We can do him for sure for not adjusting the game plan, which I understood, but he didn't adjust it. And Alan Williams for having a defense that was giving up gaping plays to Jordan Love and a 3rd-and-13 on the first drive. There was a lot that was going on with the coaching in this game that you could stare down and say, yeah, Yep, you have become a suspicious figure in this 38-20 loss to the Chicago Bears. So, yeah, I mean, that is fair on Flus for this week. And you just hope that, as I said at the beginning of the show, this is now recovery for everybody, for Bears fans, maybe for the media, I guess. I don't know. I'm always in recovery, literally. That's where I live. But for the players as well. I mean, they have to recover. They have to recover. They're the ones that have to recover. And, you know, we had a caller earlier, which I meant to respond to, and him say, oh, it's no big deal if they beat Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay sucks anyway. No. It's incredibly important that if the Bears beat Tampa Bay on Sunday on the road after that train wreck, that's a very good thing. That is part of the recovery. That is recovering. That is recovering from that loss, and it doesn't completely do away with like the damage of the game, and you have to pay attention to it. But no, if they beat Tampa Bay, then that's really good. Let's go to Josh in Chicago. Hello, Josh. Thanks for waiting. You're on the Score with Mark Grody.
Mark, doing a great job, man.
Thank you, Josh.
Do a great job everywhere you've been. Anyway, I knew, casual Bears fan, I'm from Indiana, Colts fan, so I got no skin in the Bears game, but I knew that the Bears season was going to be rocky when Justin Fields gave the order to start your engines at the NASCAR race.
Oh, no, why?
You didn't see it. It was just about as lackluster as their game yesterday.
Oh, man. You're talking
he
about just.
He couldn't get himself up for 5 seconds to scream into a microphone.
It's just not him. It's just not him, Josh. Thank you. That was funny. Oh, man. I didn't think of it that way. And I honestly don't remember his. But yeah, I mean, Justin Fields is a calm guy. So he knew. He knew then. I like that we're going to do this now. It's like slow motion. It's like the end of Usual Suspects when it all becomes clear in their heads about what happened and the mug falls and it's slow motion. And Josh right there is like, it went in slow motion for him and he's going back to the NASCAR race. He's like, I knew it. That Justin Fields, because he couldn't get, what did he say? He couldn't get excited just one time. We just need you to yell this thing out. Oh, it's just not in him. And I'm not ready to make that correlation, by the way, that Justin Fields, because he doesn't have like that adrenalizing personality, that's a kid. But again, we're allowing for everything at this point. There's a lot of stuff. It's like, we're opening up the circle. There was stuff that couldn't make the circle last year in terms of evaluations, right? Because of the obvious lack of talent, as I would tell Bernstein and Holmes and Rahimi every chance that I got last year, that there just weren't playmakers on that team. And so there were excuses, but now those playmakers exist. And you're allowed in the circle now. Those thoughts that we kind of had to dismiss to keep it fair for Justin Fields and for everybody and everybody that we're talking about and putting in the general blanket of suspicion for this 38-20 loss for the Chicago Bears. A lot more stuff is allowed. Got to take a break. This is a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on the Score. Plumbing emergency? Call Plumbers 911 at 1-833-PLUM-911. Plumbers 911. Where they do it right the first time. I'm Mark Grody. We'll take more of your calls. 312-644-6767 is the number ahead of Cubs baseball here. 7:05, Cubs at the Rockies on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Man, I hope it doesn't get to the point that a texter is kind of suggesting here, and that is from the 630, how many games have the Bears played? I'm waiting for next year. I hope they suck and we get another decent pick with either first round pick. Oh man, I mean, I knew that it would be a possibility that we would eventually get to the point where that would be a focus, because I never picked the Bears to be a playoff team this year. No, I did not. So, and it would make sense to eventually start to think about those things when and if the Bears are actually out of this thing. But, I don't want to go there right away. That is for sure. I can't. You know what I mean? Like changing that mindset based on, and I get why somebody would. I ain't mad at you. But you lose to the Packers on opening day the way you did with everything breaking down 38-20. And I get why somebody's brain would go to, should I just get this over with? Should I just start rooting for the draft pick for next year when, you know, you hope for Carolina to stink and you're going to do the dueling Bears thing too? Like, that's, I mean, you know how it is if you're a sports fan. That takes a commitment in your brain to do that. Like, that's flipping the switch. And for me, this would be way too early to flip that switch. But maybe for some of you, it isn't. Lots of good text tonight, by the way. 312-644-6767 is the number. Benjamin, you're the best, buddy. Good evening, Mark Rohde. I thought the Bears were going to beat the Packers. Benjamin texting from Elmhurst. Amen. Amen, Benjamin. Actually, I don't know if I actually did not think the Bears were going to beat the Packers. Did I think they were going to lose like this? No. No. No, I did not. Grody, would the O-line be better with Whitehair at center and using Carter or Feeney at left guard versus Lucas Patrick? Maybe. Lucas Patrick didn't look great. He also looked like he was limping towards the end of the game. So I will say this, that in the practice that I've attended, I've seen Dan Feeney practicing snapping. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that he could play center if they do want to juggle things this early. And I don't know if they're going to look at it and say, okay, we got to change things, which would be nice, actually, because then you'd see the coach adjusting. But, you know, and Carter is Jatari Carter. Who, you know, who knows? I mean, he's definitely the, as they call him, the inside swing guy. He could play left guard or right guard and played a ton of right guard when Nate Davis was out. Nate Davis didn't look ready, did he? Braxton Jones, woo. And Darnell Wright looked like a rookie out there. So they could afford to tweak it. But you asked specifically too about Whitehair. Yeah, it's funny, man. I think his hand is still injured. I think that they would move him back to center. If he was healthy, yes. They would, and the way it's going through one game, they will when his hand is healthy. But we don't know how bad it is in terms of getting it healthy to actually snap the football. That's what's up with him. I do want to talk about one other guy here before we finish off with a couple of your calls here. We'll get to you guys. Chase Claypool. Talk about building a mystery. That's what it all of a sudden feels like with Chase Claypool. It has moved from he had a bad first year with the Bears to, and this is like everybody saying this, what the hell is going on with Chase Claypool? That's what it is. Isn't that it? Yeah. I mean, everybody's like, where is this guy? Like, not it's moved from this guy sucks. It wasn't worth the second round pick. That's still out there, but there's more of a, hey, seriously, what's going on? What's the I know what we gave up for. Like, I'm mad about that still, but really, it's more about what is going on with that guy. Why is he doesn't seem like he's a part of anything? That he's just kind of a man on an island out there, which doesn't really scheme up with what I saw in training camp when he was healthy. He was good. He was part of it. He was present. He seemed inspired. And now I guess there's a video out. I haven't seen this video, but Parkinson Spiegel told me about it. There's a video of like all his missed blocks and bad plays and poor routes and all of that kind of stuff. This was Jalen Johnson last hour on the Parkinson Spiegel show. Jalen Johnson, Mondays at 5 o'clock throughout the football season for a second straight year, the Bears' top cornerback is on the score, was asked about Chase Claypool by Parkinson Spiegel.
It seemed like Chase Claypool wasn't terribly interested in blocking on those wide receiver screens. Was that brought up in film review?
Not of my knowledge, but I do have insight on, I would say, the game. And I think people kind of lose sight of some of the rules in the game. And I know that on those receiver screens, you can't block before he catches the ball. So in a sense, if you know it's a receiver screen, like you can't block while the ball is in the air. That's considered, I would say, I think if I'm not mistaken, the offensive pass interference. So I think on those, it looks a lot worse than what it is. I think some of those are timing issues as well, when you know that the ball's been thrown to a guy behind you, but you can't just go immediately and block. So it's like you're kind of trying to wait till he catches it to block. And by the time you do that, there's no defensive PI on the DB, so you can easily run through the wide receiver before he even catches it. So I think there's some tricky things to it. There's some rules to it. And I didn't see every play, but I know on a play, maybe two plays on an instance like that, it's not as easy as it looks, or it's not as simple, just, okay, just run down there and block them. There's some other things that go into it. But I, like I said, I didn't see everything. I didn't see all of what you guys may be talking about, but I can't speak on that part for sure.
Well, what I want to know, and that's Jalen Johnson on the Parkinson Spiegel show earlier on the Score. I'm Mark Grody. What I want to know now is, was that what was being said in the film review? Was that part? And I guess, you know, I don't know if Jalen and Chase are going to be in the same place for that, but. And are they saying, you know, it's not as easy as it looks? Is that what the coaches are saying? Are they giving him that benefit of the doubt? I mean, it's a smart answer from Jalen Johnson. You know, he's right. Yeah, you can't block while the ball is in the air. So I guess that, yeah, that can be a bit of a tricky task, a tight wire, a tight rope for any receiver who doesn't want to get penalized on a day in which the Bears had costly penalties. But I don't know. I just have a hard time hearing Matt Eberflus saying it's not as easy as it looks. So it is a mystery, Chase Claypool, and what is going on with him, and where are you? Where are you at? Has he lost something? Is he just not as good as we thought he was initially? I'm talking about from the day he was drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers out of Notre Dame. Like, where did all of that go? And all that skill and speed and power and intelligence, he's got deadly weapons in terms of like the raw materials that this guy has. And so that's why I'm sitting here going, what happened? It is a mystery that I think everybody would like to get to the bottom of. Let's go to Bob in Joliet. Hello, Bob. You're on the Score with Mark Grody.
Hey, Mark. Was listening to the game, when the broadcaster was interviewing Tom, who was in the press box, they interrupted Tom during the interview, and they said, oh, Justin Fields has just walked in, and then they said, wow, look at what he's wearing. Lacy lingerie.
What?
And, yeah.
Wait. They said on the are you talking about the radio broadcast? They said that.
Radio broadcast.
They said that radio Justin. Broadcast. Wait. They said Justin. Say what you said again.
That he was wearing lacy lingerie.
Nobody said that. Nobody said that. Oh, come on, Bob.
Are you serious? Hold on. So then, and Tom responded, oh, okay, I wasn't aware of that. And someone said, wow, that's very lacy. And then Tom goes, they said, take a look at social media. And Tom goes, I'm not on social media. He checked it with his partner. He goes, wow, that is lacy. So my question is there any correlation with that wardrobe?
All right,
and how
Bob. Oh my God, that was just I had a good talk with Bob the other day, so I thought maybe we could get two in a row in. And Justin Fields, if you're listening, I'm sorry you had to hear that, but I wanted to hear what he was saying or putting out there, that I'm having a hard time believing that somebody on the air was saying that Justin Fields was wearing lacy lingerie. All right, guess what? Bob needs another break, Leo. Bob needs another break. We go to Steve somewhere. Steve, where are you? You're crying out loud.
I'm in Edgewater.
Okay, Steve, go ahead, my friend.
No, I was just saying, I think the Bears, the organization, made a big mistake hiring a first-time
head coach, GM head coach, and first-time offensive coordinator. I don't know if they're the – I don't have the data for the success rate, but I'm sure it's pretty low for any NFL teams that, you know, have those. I think they need someone with proven success in one of those positions to kind of, you know, help the other ones along. So I just don't see them any real success for them for some time.
Steve, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate you waiting, and it's a good point. I mean, I am still giving Luke Getsy the benefit of the doubt. Like I have to check myself, because some of why I liked Luke Getsy in his rookie year last year was that relative to what we were seeing with Matt Nagy and his cluster of coordinators, at least you had a coordinator who appeared to be adhering to the talent that existed on his team and making those adjustments and not forcing things on his players and realizing that Justin Fields should run the hell out of the football and realizing that the Bears in general needed to run the hell out of the football. And again, seeing Justin Fields' accuracy issues in training camp on the downfield passes, I couldn't be completely shocked about the game plan that he attempted to go with yesterday. So everybody's open game. Everybody come on into the circle now, because the criticisms are warranted. And you just hope that the recovery goes well this week for the Bears and they can surprise the Buccaneers in Tampa Bay on Sunday. I'm going to be back here with you guys tomorrow night, 6 until 7 o'clock. I just recorded the Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast with Stacey King and Mark Shanowski talking Bears. You can also listen to my own podcast, The Daily Score, which will drop tomorrow morning. But check it out, if you will. I'm also on social media. I'm Mark Grody Sports. You can check me out on Facebook and Instagram as well. For Leo Stoddaher, my producer, I'm Mark Grody. Cubs baseball is next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Man, I hope it doesn't get to the point that a texter is kind of suggesting here. And that is from the 630. How many games have the Bears played? I'm waiting for next year. I hope they suck and we get another decent pick with either first round pick. Oh, man. I mean, I knew that it would be a possibility that we would eventually get to the point where that would be a focus, because I never picked the Bears to be a playoff team this year. No, I did not. So, and it would make sense to eventually start to think about those things when and if the Bears are actually out of this thing. But, I don't want to go there right away. That is for sure. I can't, you know what I mean? Like changing that mindset based on, and I get why somebody would. I ain't mad at you. But you lose to the Packers on opening day the way you did with everything breaking down 38-20. And I get why somebody's brain would go to, should I just get this over with? Should I just start rooting for the draft pick for next year when, you know, you hope for Carolina to stink and you're going to do the dueling Bears thing too. Like that's, I mean, you know how it is if you're a sports fan. That takes a commitment in your brain to do that. Like that's flipping the switch. And for me, this would be way too early to flip that switch. But maybe for some of you, it isn't. Lots of good text tonight, by the way. 312. 644-6767 is the number. Benjamin, you're the best, buddy. Good evening, Mark Rohde. I thought the Bears were going to beat the Packers. Benjamin texting from Elmhurst. Amen. Amen, Benjamin. Actually, I don't know if they... I actually did not think the Bears were going to beat the Packers. Did I think they were going to lose like this? No. No. No, I did not. Grody, would the O-line be better with Whitehair at center and using Carter or Feeney at left guard versus Lucas Patrick? Maybe. Lucas Patrick didn't look great. He also looked like he was limping towards the end of the game. So I will say this, that in the practice that I've attended, I've seen Dan Feeney practicing snapping. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that he could play center if they do want to juggle things this early. And I don't know if they're going to look at it and say, okay, we got to change things, which would be nice, actually, because then you'd see the coach adjusting. But, you know, and Carter is Jatari Carter, who, you know, who knows? I mean, he's definitely the, as they call him, the inside swing guy. He could play left guard or right guard and played a ton of right guard when Nate Davis was out. Nate Davis didn't look ready, did he? Braxton Jones, woo. And Darnell Wright looked like a rookie out there. So they could afford to tweak it. But you asked specifically too about Whitehair. Yeah, it's funny, man. I think his hand is still injured. I think that they would move him back to center. If he was healthy, yes. They would, and the way it's going through one game, they will when his hand is healthy. But we don't know how bad it is in terms of getting it healthy to actually snap the football. That's what's up with him. I do want to talk about one other guy here before we finish off with a couple of your calls here. We'll get to you guys. Chase Claypool. Talk about building a mystery. That's what it all of a sudden feels like with Chase Claypool. It has moved from he had a bad first year with the Bears to, and this is like everybody saying this, what the hell is going on with Chase Claypool? That's what it is. Isn't that it? Yeah. I mean, everybody's like, where is this guy? Like, not, it's moved from this guy sucks, it wasn't worth the second round pick. That's still out there, but there's more of a, hey, seriously, what's going on? What's the I know what we gave up for. Like, I'm mad about that still, but really it's more about what is going on with that guy? Why is he doesn't seem like he's a part of anything, that he's just kind of a man on an island out there, which doesn't really scheme up with what I saw in training camp. When he was healthy, he was good. He was part of it. He was present. He was seemed inspired. And now I guess there's a video out. I haven't seen this video, but Parkinson Spiegel told me about it. There's a video of like all his missed blocks and bad plays and poor routes and all of that kind of stuff. This was Jalen Johnson last hour on the Parkinson Spiegel show. Jalen Johnson, Mondays at 5 o'clock throughout the football season for a second straight year, the Bears' top cornerback, is on the score, was asked about Chase Claypool by Parkinson Spiegel.
It seemed like Chase Claypool wasn't terribly interested in blocking on those wide receiver screens. Was that brought up in film review?
Not of my knowledge, but I do have insight on, I would say, the game, and I think people kind of lose sight of some of the rules in the game. And I know that on those receiver screens, you can't block before he catches the ball. So in a sense, if you know it's a receiver screen, like you can't block while the ball is in the air. That's considered, I would say, I think if I'm not mistaken, the offensive pass interference. So I think on those, it looks a lot worse than what it is. I think some of those are timing issues as well, when you know that the ball's been thrown to a guy behind you, but you can't just go immediately and block. So it's like you're kind of trying to wait till he catches it to block. And by the time you do that, there's no defensive PI on the DB. So you can easily run through the wide receiver before he even catches it. So I think there's some tricky things to it. There's some rules to it. And I know I didn't see every play, but I know on a play, maybe two plays on an instance like that, it's kind of, it's not as easy as it looks, or it's not as simple, just, okay, just run down there and block them. There's some other things that go into it. But like I said, I didn't see everything. I didn't see all of what you guys may be talking about, but I can't speak on that part for sure.
Well, what I want to know, and that's Jalen Johnson on the Parkinson Spiegel show earlier on the score. I'm Mark Rohde. What I want to know now is, was that what was being said in the film review? Was that part, and I guess, you know, I don't know if Jalen and Chase are going to be in the same place for that. But and are they saying, you know, it's not as easy as it looks? Is that what the coaches are saying? Are they giving him that benefit of the doubt? I mean, it's a smart answer from Jalen Johnson. You know, he's right. Yeah, you can't block while the ball is in the air. So I guess that, yeah, that can be a bit of a tricky task, a tight wire, a tight rope for any receiver who doesn't want to get penalized on a day in which the Bears had costly penalties. But I don't know. I just have a hard time hearing Matt Eberflus saying it's not as easy as it looks. So it is a mystery. Chase Claypool and what is going on with him, and where are you? Where are you at? Has he lost something? Is he just not as good as we thought he was initially? I'm talking about from the day he was drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers out of Notre Dame. Like, where did all of that go? And all that skill and speed and power and intelligence. Like, all, like, he's got deadly weapons in terms of, like, the raw materials that this guy has. And so that's why I'm sitting here going, what happened? It is a mystery that I think everybody would like to get to the bottom of. Let's go to Bob in Joliet. Hello, Bob. You're on the Score with Mark Grody.
Hey, Mark. Was listening to the game. When the broadcaster was interviewing Tom, who was in the press box, they interrupted Tom during the interview and they said, "Oh, Justin Fields has just walked in." And then they said, "Wow, look at what he's wearing. Lacy lingerie."
What?
And yeah.
Wait. They said on the are you talking about the radio broadcast? They said that
radio broadcast.
They said that radio Justin. Broadcast. Wait. They said Justin. Say what you said again.
That he was wearing lacy lingerie.
Nobody said that. Okay. Nobody said that. Oh, come on, Bob.
Are you serious? Hold on. So then, and Tom responded, "Oh, okay. I wasn't aware of that." And someone said, "Wow, that's very lacy." And then Tom goes, they said, "Take a look at social media." And Tom goes, "I'm not on social media." He checked it with his partner. He goes, "Wow, that is lacy." So my question is there any correlation with that wardrobe
right,
and how
Bob. Oh, my God. That was just, you know, I had a good talk with Bob the other day. So I thought maybe we could get two in a row in. And Justin Fields, if you're listening, I'm sorry you had to hear that. But I wanted to hear what he was saying or putting out there that I'm having a hard time believing that somebody on the air was saying that Justin Fields was wearing lacy lingerie. All right, guess what? Bob needs another break, Leo. Bob needs another break. We go to Steve. Somewhere. Steve, where are you? You're crying out loud.
I'm in Edgewater.
Okay, Steve, go ahead, my friend.
No, I was just saying, I think the Bears, the organization, made a big mistake hiring a first-time head coach, GM head coach, and first-time offensive coordinator. I don't know if I don't have the data for the success rate, but I'm sure it's pretty low for any NFL teams that have those. I think they need someone with proven success in one of those positions to kind of, help the other ones along. So I just don't see them any real success for them for some time.
Steve, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate you waiting, and it's a good point. I mean, I am still giving Luke Getsy the benefit of the doubt. Maybe I have to check myself, because some of why I like Luke Getsy in his rookie year last year was that relative to what we were seeing with Matt Nagy and his cluster of coordinators, at least you had a coordinator who appeared to be adhering to the talent that existed on his team and making those adjustments and not forcing things on his players and realizing that Justin Fields should run the hell out of the football and realizing that the Bears in general needed to run the hell out of the football. And again, seeing Justin Fields' accuracy issues in training camp on the downfield passes, I couldn't be completely shocked about the game plan that he attempted to go with yesterday. So everybody's open game. Everybody come on into the circle now because the criticisms are warranted. And you just hope that the recovery goes well this week for the Bears and they can surprise the Buccaneers in Tampa Bay on Sunday. I'm going to be back here with you guys tomorrow night, 6 until 7 o'clock. I just recorded the Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast with Stacey King and Mark Schanowski talking Bears. You can also listen to my own podcast, The Daily Score, which will drop tomorrow morning. But check it out, if you will. I'm also on social media. I'm Mark Grody Sports. You can check me out on Facebook and Instagram as well. For Leo Stoddaher, my producer, I'm Mark Grody. Cubs baseball is next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.